In all indication, Cherry Knight will take the lead. Pinsky will run second. Sea Hero will be coming and setting about fourth behind maybe either Colonial Affair, or he may be in ahead. It'll be between him and Colonial Affair, who will be setting third. Now, I've got two horses in front of horses that have to have the lead at the hang mile, now, I mean at the stretch to win. I said, Sea Hero cannot get the lead because Peachy's in front of him. He has passed Cherry Knight. Cherry Knight will be setting second at the head of the stretch. Sea Hero will be setting third, coming down the stretch. Kissing Chris, I don't know what Truth of It All will be. And Colonial Affair, those three horses will be bringing you up the rear end of the bay. So I see the exacta running, Peachy, Cherry Hill, and if you have a trifecta, go with Sea Hero. Now, the thing is, I don't think this race is going to pay very much. I know that I'll probably get a better price at Remington Park than I would in Canada, because these people are going to be betting Sea Hero and the Kentucky Derby winner and Colonial Affair, the Belmont winner. And I know this. And so I make a special trip to the track to bet this particular race. Now, when I'm going to the track to bet a particular race of this, every one of my friends and everyone knows who I'm betting, and it doesn't take it long to get out. But I was fortunate to get $7 and change out of Peachy, and I think he only paid about $5 or something, or maybe even less in Canada. And I don't remember what the exacta paid. I have a better chance getting exactas in an instance like this than I do any other time, because I know Cherry Knight can't win the race. You know, to me, there's only one horse that can win the race, and that's Peachy. Now, let me say this. Like I said, I do not advocate nor tell you to not use the computer. But once you have done this, have analyzed this race, looked at this race, then put them in on pace lines that represent what you think is going to run. The three major contenders in this race is Peachy, Cherry Hill, and Sea Hero. You know, as far as I'm concerned, these are the only contenders in the race. Tom will sit up here and tell you and tell you and tell you to look at that stretch. And I do the same thing. But you don't look at the times that get them to the stretch. Look at the positions. I love positions of horses and place them in the position that I think they're going to be in. And then find the times that match this. You know, I may use parts of a pace line. I may use three back. Sometimes I don't know whether I even use a pace line or not. Now, you have any questions on this particular race?
No questions?
How long was this race?
Hold it, Doctor.
Nine furlong, I believe. You know, does anyone happen to remember? Maybe it's a mile and a quarter. Seems like it was, because that's when I look at the miles.
Super Derby's a mile and a quarter.
This is Molson.
This is Molson Million.
Jerry didn't give me the first part of the race, just give
you
that.
You know, this was really easy. This race was so easy, I felt ashamed of trying to match it up and going over in the seminar. But there was a reason for this. The people at the Oklahoma Seminar had not seen the new racing form format. until this race came along, and this was the reason that we had it mimeographed and put out. But I can see how people will make a mistake when this guy's going to box Sea Hero, Kissing Chris, and Colonial Affair. I detest horses like this. I really do.
Hey, Jim. Hey, you said that you thought that Sherry Knight would go to the lead, and I'd like you to go over that again as to why you thought you would take the lead over.
I said it really didn't matter, but I just felt.
Is that how the race was won? We don't have the check.
I don't know.
Yes, that was great.
I don't remember, but I just felt that this trainer, he knew which is the best horse. He knew which was the fastest horse. And I just felt that he would send a Cherry Hill based on his last race for the lead. And I felt that I know that Pinsky can take the lead any time that he wants to. But in looking at this, I feel that he would get it between the 6 furlong and the mile. Or right at the mile is when he's going to take the lead. Yeah. Now, right now, I can't see this. The lights are bad. My eyes are bad. The printing is bad.
And no, we're all getting old.
And I'm just kidding. But most of this, I really didn't even look at the race today, other than to see who would take the lead in that marquetry race. And the horse that got the lead, the two horse, I showed Joe that he wasn't supposed to get the lead because they had faced each other before and he couldn't outbreak marquetry. When they send marquetry, he's gone. But the horse broke a step late. So I lost the race. But this doesn't, I don't make excuses. I say, hey, look, I lost it. But I know why I lost it. And I don't go into a tailspin. And I'll look at the same thing tomorrow when I pick up a racing form. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day, I'll do the same thing. I don't lack in confidence. Dick Mitchell said I was just an arrogant cowboy.
He also asked you who you like.
I said, yeah, but I said, I hope your books sell good, because you ain't a handicap.
Leroy, you better bring Jimmy his glasses.
Well, I've got them, but I still can't see them. These lights are really bad.
I remember you, Jimmy, when you were a young man, you could read in the dark, and among other things.
He was a young man who glowed in the dark, Howard.
That's right, I remember that.
Howard?
Yes.
But do you have any other questions?
Yeah. Hold it.
One back here.
No, he doesn't need it.
No, I'll answer it. I'll do it from memory. I know.
Who's? Oh, Jimmy. It's our friend Jay Elliott from San Diego.
Jimmy, can you expand on why you feel so strong about the position at the stretch call?
I feel not only position at the stretch call, Jay, but positions throughout the race. Now, have you ever watched some of these races and look at these horses, start looking around and seeing where they're located? Have you ever watched this? A horse just or dropped back if he's up toward the front and he knows he's not supposed to be there? Have you ever watched this?
Yeah. Yeah, early in the race.
You know, there's a guy told me one time, and I still think he's a pretty smart fellow, that said that horses are creatures of habit. And you know, this guy was a psychologist and had worked in animal behavior. And guess what his name was? His name was Howard Sarton. And this was one of the first things that really turned me around. He said, hey, they're creatures of habit. I said, you don't tell me that. He said, yeah, he said, they do this. So these horses, look at these numbers. You know, there's a lot of numbers. I'm not talking about the buyer's numbers, but look at Cherry Knight. You know, third, first, you know, breaking from the quarter mile or breaking out of the gate. And then they start looking or trying to adjust to find where they belong. And watch these maidens. Did you ever watch a maiden race where there's about 10 of them running together, and finally one gets brave and breaks out and goes breaks the, and wins the race.
Put your glass on so people see how proper story you look in your old age.
Now, I look at the, I look at how they break out of the gate. I look at the position, the post position, where they are, where they were, how they broke. Here is Cherry Knight. To do well, this horse has to be first, or right up north. So, you know, this trainer should know this. If he doesn't, they ought to take his horse. They ought to take it. You know, if I was the owner, if I owned marquetry, I'd have fired that trainer a long time ago. You know, I would have never had that, bet that trainer. He'd be running him against Bertrando.
Yeah. Running interference.
Yeah, and see, Bertrando, he's going to wire it. Marquetry can't outbreak. And every time that he didn't run against Bertrando, he wired the field. If I'm the owner of this horse, I would be getting a little upset.
Strike the Gold Strainer is the guy you wanted to get, really get, wasn't it?
Now, Jay, in this, look at the mile times. Look at the mile time of Truth at All, 136.3. Look at the mile time of Sea Hero, 136.3, and see which is the better horses and the positions that they'll be in. See, they only have a quarter of a mile to go from the mile. Look at Kissing Chris. That looks like a 136.1. And so I extrapolated and made for Pete Skin on this second race back and said, well, you know, that's a second race back of 135.1. You know, who's going to be at 135.1? Who's going to be there at the head of the stretch? Well, that automatically knocks out Colonial Affair. Colonial's out. Sea Hero's out. Kissing Chris is out. Now, all I got left is Cherry Hill and Truth of It All. And if I ever bet on a horse like Truth of It All, you know, in a race like this, he's not going to win this race.
Almost all mile and a half races are won that way, too, Jimmy. Almost all mile and a half races are won. They're sustained pace horses, but they've got to be right there at the mile that you're winning. That's the Belmont Stakes. If you want to win it, that's how you win it.
And I, this is what I did before they had this form. I would extrapolate and make me a mile time. Or usually it was in some of the other races. You know, I don't want a horse that's setting eight at the head of the stretch. Do you, Tom?
Nope. Nope.
You know, unless he's a murderer. You know, I want a horse that's right there in contention, because this is when they're going to really start. That's when they bring that whip out of their boot. That's when my wife gets upset. She doesn't like to see the horses get whipped. And the other people are hiring, whip it, whip it, whip him. And boy, she's really upset. Said, don't whip that baby. She calls them babies until they lose, and I'm not going to tell you what she called. All right. Jay, did that all answer your question?
Yes.
All right. Any other questions? Got about 5 minutes. Always look at the positions.
Tell them a hooky the bookie story. You got 5 minutes. Go to dinner with a hooky story.
All right. You know, hooky bookie. How many of you heard the stories of hooky the bookie? Hooky is so bad that he would call me to get picks. And I'd tell him, hey, look, I haven't looked at the racing form. He'd say, well, get them out of the paper. So I'd just look in the paper and take two or three, and hooky would bet them. Hooky was on a radio program.
He really?
And yeah, so all he had to do, they said he was from Big Sandy, Texas, but he wasn't. He was right there in Tulsa. So Hooky, every time that he missed a football game, he'd have his lock of the week. He'd have to take a bite out of his hat. He ate the whole brim off his head. and then wanted to buy mine. Or said, loan me one of your hats. You know, I don't even have my hat. Well, Hookie got so deep into debt to one of the bookies that he couldn't pay him. Now, he owed everybody in town, but he particularly liked this bookie and decided, well, you know, I'm going to pay you. So Hookie went down and told him, he said, I don't have any money, and I know I'm in debt to you, and I want to pay my debt. He said, oh, he said, well, how do you figure you're going to do that? He said, I'll mow your yard all summer. So Hookie got him a lawnmower, and every Saturday, he would go down and mow this bookie's yard till he paid off his gambling debt. Well, it goes on and on. He said, I'm not going to do this. He said, I'm going to win. I'm not going to pay it. So he came up with a solution of how he would do this. He called it his 95% solution to win a football game. First, he had another friend that bet on football, and this friend had another friend. So Hookie would decide, okay, I like Dallas. He would call this friend and say, who do you like? He said, I like Dallas. And they would call this other friend and say, who do you like? Said, well, I like Dallas. Now, his 95% play was to go the other way. You know, if he likes it and the other two guys like it, then you bet the other team. Now, that's his 95% solution. All right. So now Hookie decided, okay, I'm going to pay my debts off. He decides, okay, I like so-and-so. He called his friend. Who do you like? I like so-and-so. He called his other friend. Who do you like? I like so-and-so. They all three like the same one, so he bets it. I said, well, now, Hookie, why did you bet it if it goes against your 95% solution? He said, well, he said, everybody liked it. Now, this is the type of guy that that Hookie is. I could go on and on because Hookie is really a real person. Hookie, we had a friend, and his uncle was a deputy sheriff. So this deputy sheriff passed away. So Hookie decides that he will go to the funeral. So he's running late as always and had a little bit to drink, which Hookie always did. And he goes to the funeral. And he's late, and he goes in and he takes his seat. And he starts looking around, and he doesn't know anyone. And he's trying to look for a friend, and he can't find him. He's looking around, and there was a lady sitting by him. And he said, it sure was sad about Deputy Maxey, wasn't it? And she said, who? Said, Deputy Maxey. And she said, you're at the wrong funeral. And he said, what? Said, this is so-and-so's funeral. And she starts laughing. I mean, hysterical laughing. So this gets Hooky tickled. So Hookie starts laughing. Now here these people are really sad up here, and they're looking around, and here's these people just laughing and laughing, hysterical. So well, after he calms down, he said, well, okay, there wasn't very many people there, so he said, I'll go ahead and stay. You know, I'll wait till the funeral is over, because he said, I've already made a fool out of myself laughing. Now, I want him to think, you know, that I really cared about the guy, that I came to his funeral. So he stayed till it's over. Now he runs out and gets in his truck and makes it so he can make it to the other funeral, which is just a couple of blocks away. He got these streets mixed up. So he runs up there, and they're running up. So he goes, parks his car real fast, goes to his truck real fast, go running up. People are walking out. He jumps up and runs up, starts shaking him hands, says, "Sure was a nice service." So with that, we'll stop and go eat.
Okay. Let's give you a long leisurely dinner. We'll see you back here at 7:30. Problem in understanding this? What do you mean, what is it? Yeah, I guess you do have a problem understanding. What is it? It is the thing on page 10 and on several other pages, which I thought was self-explanatory.
What the hell, we got them all.
Does anybody have any problem with how to use that?
Doc, I got a question.
Yes, sir.
On that, you're going to a similar distance in class.
Comparable distance, class, and surface. If you can't find one in the last three, go back farther until you find one. Can't, if the horse has been running in entirely different distances, on the turf, different track, everything else, you can go back four. But if you go back farther than four, you're going to be in danger of... You can't hear me?
No.
My God. If you can't hear me, man, then I've lost it.
Yeah. I didn't mean to talk to you about that.
I'll have to wait for the mic, sir, if you can't hear me. Why don't you go up closer to me?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, we're never done. Does anybody, before we start the festivities, have any problem like my dear friend Bill Stoppis? Multimillionaire, a giant, a titan in business, and he doesn't understand what's on page 10. Does anybody have that problem before we go on? Well, Bill, somebody said yes.
No.
Spencer will bring the microphone to anybody who has a problem with that, and you may ask your problem. It's all, it was on, Spencer, right? Excuse me. There's a gentleman over there with a problem. Here's one. You don't have a problem with it.
I just don't understand the 1.5. That's okay. Not a rank, is it?
Why don't you take the two and add them together and divide by two and see what you come up with?
Which two?
The only two that we're using. The buyer rating and the speed rating. We're averaging them. They're ranked. You don't have to do it with a handheld calculator. You can divide four by two.
You can divide 84 and 88?
No, the ranking, my friend.
Oh, the ranking.
The ranking.
Okay, I got you now.
Did I answer your question?
What
was your question? I hope it's more brilliant than his.
That's the average rank, right?
Thing. Yeah. I don't know if splitting here is a why.
No, go ahead and split them.
It's, you have 1, 2, 2, 2, and then you have a 3. Shouldn't that really be 1, 2, 2, 5,
no.
6?
No. No. In our ranking system, we use ties. It's not like a horse race, where if they come in dead heat, the next horse is third. No, it's not that way. And our ranking system, we tried it both ways years and years ago. We found out that when they're tied, and the next one behind the tie is the next number, except when making a Rohammer model. That's a joke that Tom was looking at. What you do is you average the rank of the speed rating and the rank of the buyer number and divide it by two. Now, you don't really have to divide it by two. You want to add them up, then you just get larger numbers.
Doc?
Yes, sir.
I just want to confirm that you're getting the buyer and the speed rating from the same race, right?
That's right. Use the speed rating first and the comparable buyer number. Now, if you really want to go against the grain of this and come up with your own, you're going to have to use two different races. You're going to have to use the race with the best speed rating and the race with the best buyer. Now you've got another problem and another decision to make. We have tested this over thousands of races, and it turns out it works pretty well. If you are a buyer devotee, like our friend in New York who gave away his Thoroughmation because buyer said pace didn't work in New York, then you want to use the buyer numbers first and the speed rating secondarily. But the guy who bought this man's Thoroughmation program is doing very, very well in New York. I'm from New York, so it's all right to... Yes?
On this rating that you're talking about, what kind of what percentage did you have the winner in, number of races?
More about 90% of all the races.
Is that right?
Between 90 and 95.
Wow.
You know how I got it? I didn't get it by hit or miss or by just playing around like some of our statisticians do. I looked through all of our old manuals and looked at races done by Brohammer and Bradshaw and some of you other hotshots, and I found out where you were getting your pace lines from. And I found out that unbeknownst to you, of course you wouldn't use a method like this, most of them came from this procedure would get most of the pace lines that our most expert handicappers were getting. This is only for those of you who cannot follow the Brohammer guidelines, cannot use the matchup as Jimmy did. Those of you who want to have a reasonable win expectancy without having to know anything. I like it. It works for me. In experimenting with it, I naturally used it. And my win proficiency didn't go down in one bit. It so far has been very proficient. Yes, sir.
I guess I might have missed though. Is this, of course, if you're picking your horses out here, but is this also determining your pace line?
Because that's right.
You'd have two different pace lines involved, so you've got to...
No, I don't. How do I have two different pace lines? I'm using the best speed rating at a comparable distance, class, and surface in the last three, and the buyer number that matches it. I don't use two races. I don't use the best speed rating and the best buyer. If you want to try that, you're going to have to use two horses almost in every race.
So it's the best speed rating.
Yeah. Right. And the reason we chose speed rating over buyer is that 20% more victories came from using the speed rating than came from just using the buyer. We averaged them out, and I had several people doing this. A very nice young man from Southern California got three sets of racing forms, and I gave him an entropy program for doing it, and he really did a thorough job. And my son did hundreds, and I did hundreds, and Spencer was still doing his. Yes, Tipton.
When you checked the speed rating, did you check it both ways using the raw speed rating and the speed rating?
I didn't, but I don't live in the East. Some people who lived in areas where the weather was inclement, which would probably apply to you certain times of the year, found out that adding the variant, not half the variant, all the variant, was made it more proficient. They would have a horse, for instance, that had an 80 speed rating and a 60 variant, and another horse with an 89 speed rating and a 10 variant, and they found out that they were missing the obvious choice by not adding the variant. This was in Kentucky where we first discovered this. And anywhere where the weather's inclement, I'm sure. The point is that use some imagination with it. Use some sense with it. And there are no other problems, are there? Boy, you're making Stout feel real good. But he thought it. He said, boy, if I'm having trouble, everybody must be. But your problem is, Stout, you're too bright. You're looking for something. You just won't look at the obvious. Like this gentleman here. Well, how do you get 2.5? One of them's 3 and the other's 2. Where does 2.5 come out of that? Okay, now I guess got down to the point. Last night when we had a beginner session, we wanted to show the readouts from all the programs, and a gentleman walked up to me from New York and said, hey, I understand the thing broke last night, but what about all day today? You didn't show us any. So now we're going to show you your more esoteric readouts from the synergetic matchup program. Now, this would account for Thoromation 2. The only difference is that Thoromation, they run across the screen. So the essential readouts are on this program. So Spencer, have you got a race here, or you want me to give you a race?
What you give me one?
I will give you a race. Hit one.
Don't want to use number three. Want to use number one.
Well, we'll say yes to the energy generator, and we'll get number three.
Okay.
Hit number one. Okay, give it a name. When you get it, you want to give it a name, and this is the name you will use to save the race to the disc, so you'll always have it. So call it something. Now, do you want to make a comment for your own records, like a rainy day, or a sloppy track, or allowance 20,000, or whatever you want to say, whatever little word here would help you to recall what this race was. I usually put LV seminar test, or something like that, but put whatever you want. That says optional, that means you can do anything you want. We have no instructions for what you put there. So put there something of your own imagination, Spencer, such as test race. Are you?
Let me say something right
sure, there. Would you not let you just get grab a mic?
Now, listen, up there where it says...
They can't hear you, Jimmy. Even me, they couldn't hear in the back. You got to get a mic. Take this one.
When you get ready to save that race, you'll see that name, but don't just
you must type it in again. Don't just hit enter when it says save race and you see that name. Type it in again.
You got that? When it comes to save race, to this yes or no, you say yes, and then you give it the name.
Name.
Just whatever name you want to give it. And you're probably going to screw everything up with all those words.
No, of course.
That's all going to come out of it. You'll have the first two words. Distance of today's race. The gentleman from New York, tell me what distance you want this race to be.
8 furlongs.
Make it 8 furlongs. It's a mile. Print hard copy. Well, we don't have a printer hooked up, so say no and then use print screen. I advise everybody to use print screen and not be worried about the hard copy. When you print screen, you only get what you want. Data okay?
Yes.
We'll let Spencer decide. Okay, this horse we'll call AAA. The distance is 8.5. First call. Okay, I'm going to put in the new times, or the new racing form times. So we're going to put in 24. We're going to put in like 45 and 4. We're going to put in, what's the third call, folks, at a mile? You've all read the new racing form, it's 6 furlongs, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Put it, give him 1, 10, and 4. And final call, 1:36. We'll use New York times here. 3, 2, 1, 1. Okay, now we're going to put in 9 furlongs. Pay attention here, because 9 furlongs does not use the quarter mile time in the new racing form format. So you're going to have to put in 47, 46 minutes. I'll make a mistake on the next one, Spencer. Put it in as 1:18. I say, oops, that was a 3. I thought it was an 8. And I'm now showing how you go back.
I hit the F2, the function 2 key, and then I hit enter, and it backs up.
And we make it 1:13.
And I can type in over this 1:13. And I hit enter, and I'm ready for the third call.
Now, what is the third call at the new 9 furlong distance?
5/8.
No, at the 9 furlong distance. You get one more chance. Where did you get it? 5/8. That's in a sprint.
Just a guess.
That's a bad guess. It's the mile time. You just won 28,000. Put in a mile time here. Put in 1:35 and 4.
Uh-oh.
All right, where were we? 1:35 and 4. And 1:47 and 4. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, now let's get us an 8 furlong horse in here. This is the distance of today's race. 23 and 2. 45 and 3. 1:10 and 3. 1:35 and 4.
Let me catch up. 1:35 and 4.
Let him go wire to wire. Anybody want to volunteer a time, route time in here? Let's put in a mile and 70 horse. You don't have a mile and 70 horses very often back there, but here's how you would enter a horse who went a mile and 70 yards. Put in 1.7. 23 and 3, 45 and 4, 1:10 and 4. Make it like 1:40. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, or whatever. You just put in speed limit. If it was going to be a mile and 40 race, you'd put in 1.4. We don't have to stretch the board. That's how you do it. Okay, now we got 4 horses in there. That should be enough to demonstrate the readouts. You all understand if you make a mistake, what to press. If you make a mistake all the way across and you botched it hopelessly, hit the F1 button and it'll go right back to the name of the horse. Okay? Push the other screen. Okay, add or review the horses. Suppose you decided you left one out, or you... Yes, sir. That's, oh, God, was this is a problem. Jimmy, you want to be the microphone carrier?
You have an errant number on the first horse at 136 from mile 16.
Okay, Spencer, just to go back down, so say yes to add or review the horses. We have an 8.5 horse at 136. Looks like we made that horse a little fast, Spencer. We, instead of making him a mile, we gave him a mile.
Which horse is
mile 16?
The first one.
Yeah.
You're supposed to know that when you're entering.
While you're doing that, I'd like to comment.
So put him back
in. Programs also
making 142.
We'll take up to and including a mile and a quarter.
Let's put in a mile and a quarter race. That's a good point, Jimmy. It's like we'll put in a mile and a quarter race.
Now, what's our fine?
Hey, put in the same. Go back now. You made a mistake. Hit your F2. That's 110 and 4, not 114. Okay. That's the beauty of this program. We didn't do it for you. Actually, we did it for Spencer.
Just
now making 142. Same beating lengths as before. Now that is okay. Now, when it says any scratches, you say yes, and you scratch AA number one. Okay, now let's go back to the add or review, put in a mile and a quarter. Do you know how many furlongs that is, Spencer?
Which one?
Mile and a quarter. Do you know how many furlongs that is?
Yes, I'd be about 10.
Good for you. You want to put in some times?
Go ahead.
Jimmy, give him some times.
47. 112.4. 137. 201.2.
201.2. And you make up your own beat life, Spencer. We're going to let you do this. Be creative. Make him competitive, but be creative.
Anytime that you put in a 10 furlong horse, it automatically auto projects and turns it to a 9.5. Or to today's business.
How about a 1.7?
We just did a 1.7.
It goes to 8.5.
No, 1.7 is a mile 70.
8.3,
yeah. It turns it into 8.3 when you see it there, but you put in 1.7. It's actually 8.331, but we didn't put all the other stuff on there. I'll follow the bouncing ball. Questions come later. Mustn't confer with the... Okay, hit the button. No scratches. We've already added and reviewed. Save race to disc. Now, let me tell you something about this. If you have used the automatic projector, you must save the race disc now to retain the race as you originally entered it. Otherwise, you will never see it again as you originally entered it, and there's no way you are ever going to get it back. So what I do is I save it to disc now as we originally entered it. And then when I save it the second time after using the auto projector, I call it the same name but add a P to it for projected. Okay? Hit the next. You don't need to review again. Now, when the second time you see auto projector, if you've already auto projected it, you don't have to say it twice.
We didn't. It changed everything.
It did it automatically because, right, Jimmy? Because you put in a...
Anytime you put in a 10 furlong, someone's not listening, it automatically auto-projects.
Okay. Anytime you put in a distance over the normal, huh? Ask your question so we can hear you.
Was there an early horse there?
Don't ask Prasser? That, sir. Huh? Oh, what are you talking about? We're going to see that next.
Oh.
Let's start off with a one adjustment. We'll look at these. We'll go back through it and look at these. But let's get to the point. You know what you didn't do? You're going to have to load this on the disk. You didn't say yes to kinetic generator.
That's what I wanted. You don't want to load number 3.
Well, you don't have to load number 3. You say yes when it comes. You didn't press the Y button. So save it to disk.
Jimmy's taking the disk out. Please,
We got to show them the whole program. Go through and save it to disk. Because he didn't say yes to kinetic generator, so they're not looking. He wants to see what their running styles are.
They don't have to do all that.